Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Another chance for you to win $1,000 coming up here on Dukes and Bell. Glad to have you listening, man. A reminder, we're going to be out at Twin Peaks on Friday in Kennesaw. If you're up that way, come by, come hang out with us, man, and we'd love to get a chance to see you, shake your hand, and have you enjoy an ice cold brew.
Right on, brother, man. I believe we're going to talk to Frank Caliendo. He's going to be in town, the man of 1,000 voices, and we'll get him on Friday as well. He'll be on the phone, but we'd like to see you up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, man, right off Barrett Parkway.
Looking forward to it. Hey, also a reminder, guys, if you're going to play in our golf tournament, we've been telling you about this. It is the Grady Jarrett 92.9 The Game, 5th annual 92.9 The Game Celebrity Golf Classic. But we're doing it a different way this year. We're doing it at Topgolf right here in Midtown. And, Mike, I know a lot of guys have hit us up and they said, hey, man, I want to hear the information. What do I have to do? We want you guys to play. We'd love to see you there, but we want you guys to actually sign up and participate. And as Mike said, it is going towards charity as a tax write-off. But Grady Jarrett, Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Sean Weatherspoon, Takeo Spikes, Ray Lewis, Deshaun Williams, Derek Shelby. I could go on and on about guys that are going to be hanging out with us and having a good time. But go sign up at 92.9thegame.com to register you or your team. But you got to hurry up and do it. And if you know some guys that want to come hang out and play, do that, man. It's June 6th. So all the information is on the website, but I want to make sure guys know because some people have been hitting us up just, Dukes, Bell, I'm going to come hang out. Well, go play.
Yeah, we'd like you to spend money for the charity and bring your golf clubs and see what it's all about. And maybe I can hustle you out of a driver the way West Durham hustled me out of mine.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, a couple things while we were talking here on the Twitter. You can follow us at 92.9 The Game. Carl's put them up. C. Dukes, I'm Mike Bale, ATL. A couple guys are saying, man, what is your problem with this Luka Doncic? No, nothing. I mean, I'm sure he's going to have a nice career, but is he better? Is there more upside with some of the other guys? During the commercial break, I looked it up. I just Googled European NBA busts. There's an entire three pages devoted to Serbians, and that's not even the rest of Europe. I mean, that's just one country.
Right.
So, I mean, there's actually a dozen guys that are drafted that never even played a minute in the NBA from Serbia alone, not to mention the Frederick Weisses of the world who the Knicks crafted, not to mention guys from the Ukraine, Russia, etc. I mean, dude, truth be told, when you look at the grand total of things, I mean, some of the guys that we had here, man, Zaza was actually one of the worst.
Yeah. It is allegedly, and this is according to guys, you know, that cover this stuff overseas and NBA guys, it's the second best league in the world. Behind the NBA, and he's 19, and he's playing. And
playing for the best basketball team in Europe. Plays for not the basketball team, but the same name, Real Madrid, the basketball.
But the league itself, you know, if you were going to say, well, how's it compared to the NBA? People would tell you it's the second best league. It's competitive. You've got a lot of guys that go overseas, that live in America, that go over there and play, that don't get a chance to make it in the NBA. So I'm not going to discount that. You know, he's playing at a high level in that league. But for all that it's worth, again, The whole ceiling thing, Mike, and we were talking about this, you know, if it's Bagley, if it's Ayton, whoever it is. When I say that, you have guys that have come into this league, and I'll use Josh Smith as an example, who really never got any better. They come in with tremendous athleticism, all these tools, but did his game really elevate? And that's the question when you're making these draft picks. You can't be, and even as great as LeBron is. LeBron is a different player than he is 5-6 years ago. You have to continue to elevate your game. And what is the ceiling for these guys? Yeah. I think that's a big part of this.
And that's the thing. Josh, you never heard the word no. Never had a coach tell him what to do. Hey, playing AAU ball, man. Let's be real here. You know, and Josh, imagine if Josh had one or two. I mean, make the argument for anybody. 2 or 3 years of college coaching.
Yeah.
To maybe sharpen up the game.
Now, for those of you who are saying, wait a minute, Duke's dude averaged 19 points a game. He did, but he could average 27.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah, and with the number three pick, Mike, that's the kind of guy that whoever you go get has to eventually turn into. You can't just draft this guy and go, well, he's a piece. He's got to be a big part of this rebuild.
And by the way, the things, I don't want you to think like I'm being a xenophobe like that Arthur Trish guy. I'm just telling you that when you go bounce around and read some of the columns, for as many guys that love this kid, There's many who say, well, yeah, but, you know, dot, dot, dot. A Bagley, you know, a guy, you know, there's a number of guys that could be maybe better than him down the road. We'll see. But there is certainly the stigma that comes with drafting a Euro bust as opposed to drafting Kwame Brown. You know, I mean, yeah, there's been some stinkers out there that are American. You know, you don't have to be European to stink in the NBA draft. A matter of fact, the rate of return is actually lower than the NFL draft as starters.
It is. It is Dukes and Bell. You guys can chime in, as always, on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Hey, man, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it all?
Well, let's start with Travis Schlink, our general manager. What is the criteria for selecting the third pick in the draft?
Now we have to really hone in on the individual, figuring out what kind of person they are, what their end game is, you know, what their basketball IQ is. All those things are going to go into it.
All right. So, Mike, what are they looking for? Out in the bullpen, Andy Bunker, Jarvis, they're out there. We're all chopping it up, talking about the same things you guys are at work. And that is, all right, well, then what are we looking for? Travis Link describes the guy they're looking for.
You've got to have guys that can get out and cover on the perimeter. You also have to have guys that can play on the perimeter as well. You look at the four teams that are out there right now in the conference finals, it's a wide open up and down game in both conferences. So in a perfect world, we'll get somebody that can accomplish both those tasks.
Now, you could imagine that Ayton would probably be gone, if not Phoenix, although the Phoenix head coach is a former Slovenian national team coach.
So assistant coach.
Yeah, does have familiarity with Luka Doncic. So there's something right there that might get people's heads going. That's interesting. That coach is Igor Kokosov. You read that. What does that look like to you? Kokoskov? There you go.
Yes.
Mazel tov, Kokoskov.
I wrote it down today myself, Mike, because I wanted to make sure. Igor, yeah, Kokosov.
Actually, he pronounces it Igor, much like young Frankenstein. Anyway, as far as Vlade Divac, what's he going to do? Does he want the big man, right? Just for argument's sake. So it could be Bagley. Now, if Doncic is here, do you want him? Let's get rubber hits the road. Well, Doncic is there at three. Do you want him?
See, this is the thing. Everybody's saying they do. And I asked this question yesterday. Are you willing to put your reputation on it? Because that's what's going to happen with Travis Link and the Hawks and going, this is the next guy. Now, for all there's two parts of this. One, can he play? The other part of it is the PR side of it, Mike, because you're drafting a guy and you're saying this is a huge building block to moving us forward. And you said, is this a hard sell to the community? I don't think it is, if the guy can play, because that's what it is going to come down to. We can have all this stuff in our heads, but we get down to the new Phillips Arena and this kid is giving you 20, 25 a night.
Right.
You're going to be like, okay, forget about it. I like this pick. That's how this works. But are you willing to put your reputation on the line? I think there are enough scouts who say the kid can play. Mm-hmm. I would tell you, yes, I'm willing to do it.
It's our top three stories of the day, guys. The Hawks, obviously, Jamie Gertz was the rabbit's foot as we defied the odds and jumped up. And despite losing or winning those games, it really had us fired up. Remember that, Carl, in April?
Yeah.
It didn't hurt us, even though we lost the tiebreaker, and the Mavericks actually had a better mathematical chance to get to three than we did.
Yeah, I think Travis has gone over there, our general manager, and I say over there as in, he's been to Europe numerous times already this season. There's a reason for that. And it's one thing for a guy to come back and go, hey, Mike, I saw this dude in the Slovenian League. Man, he can play. It's another thing when I go put my eyes on it myself. I go talk and go visit with the people there. I think they feel really good if Doncic is there at three, Mike, if we end up having a chance to draft him.
Check out the ESPN, the magazine article. It's pretty in-depth about Doncic and his excitement level, how much he knows about the NBA, how ready he thinks he is to be here. Hey, real quick, one last note before we get to the Bravos story. We talked about this earlier. Mike Conte brought this up. What if it's none of the above and you actually trade down because you do really covet? You move on from Dennis Schroeder and you're coveting a point guard, but the point guards aren't valued to be picked third. You go maybe get another pick, and who knows, do you build through this draft or maybe pick up a number one for next year? That might also be on the table because who knows? It's a fluid situation if people start calling you on draft night.
Well, it really is. And by the way, you mentioned Dennis Schroeder. I do want to mention this because I talked about his tweet earlier today, and we were talking about, well, who's Dennis talking to? What's going on? So Dennis's tweet in the 5 o'clock hour, right, accomplish something first before you talk. Shaking my head.
Clapping back at somebody?
Well, we said it's a subtweet, right? All right, so who's he talking to? So my man Jimmy hits me up on Twitter. He says, Dukes, maybe he was talking about this. And he sends me something from Twitter from Torian Prince, who had tweeted out, soldiers acting like generals, shaking my head.
Uh-oh.
That may be what this is all about. Now, I don't start rumors. I just talk about it once they're out. But, Mike, that makes sense.
We got hawk-on-hawk violence. We'll try to settle this with Puffy K, Steve Coonan on Friday. Get to the bottom of this.
I mean, seriously. Now, I love Torian Prince, but who are you talking to? Soldiers acting like generals, shaking my head. Then that was last night. And then you've got this tweet today from Dennis talking about accomplish something before you talk.
All right. I like the fact, you know, if nothing else, the Hawks are ready for the big time because we're throwing hidden messages like the Cavs do and like LeBron plays it.
Story number two, man. We got to get this bullpen fixed. Bravo's back at it tonight, guys. Brandon McCarthy on the hill. They're taking on the Cubs. Tyler Chatwood's on the hill for the Cubs. But, man, last night, I get nervous every time we go to the bullpen.
Yeah, because you don't trust him. And Acuna, great job by Snitker. We were talking about, does he deserve a contract extension? Where is he going? He was going to think about maybe sitting Ronald Acuna, who's been having a rough patch the last couple games. Well, he starts Acuna. Acuna hits the home run that should have been the game winner in the eighth inning. Then the ninth comes around. Whether it's A.J. Minter or Aroldis Vizcaíno, you just don't have any faith in these guys. Before we get to the blown save, though, Carl, how about the blown calls by the umpires?
It was terrible.
Wild pitch. Camargo basically scores from third. His hand gets under the tag. His hand's on the plate, while then about a tick a second later, the tag is on the top of his helmet. They go to replay. They don't get it right. Camargo says, I was safe. I got my hand there first. He tagged me, touched my helmet just a little bit, but I got my hand in there. Problem is, since you lose that appeal, you got no more chances. So then the umpires screw up a call when Culberson steals third. And so you don't get to appeal that. And then Snitker was losing his mind. The replay we talked about earlier not working.
Yeah, we had Richard Justice on, and he was saying, you know, it's a process. Yeah, but we got to get this fixed. I mean, that's the bottom line. It cost the Braves possibly the game last night.
But speaking of getting fixed, we got to get the bullpen fixed.
Well, Snitker talked about what happened to Vizcaíno.
You know, this game, that's a pretty good team, and it's, you know, happens. The best closers in the league, that right there happens to, and they come right back the next day and get saved.
Yeah, but Vizcaíno gave up the tying run in the ninth on consecutive one-out doubles. Then, you know, he gave up the go-ahead run. Ben Zobrist comes up with a two-out single. Boom. Ball game. Now, Braves still lead the NL East by one game. But what are we going to do moving forward, Brian Snitker, when it comes to closing these games?
It just depends on who's rested more. I feel good. You know, if we wanted to try to keep them all somewhat healthy and fresh, I mean, Winkler could probably fit right in that role, too. But, you know, we have a few options.
All right. Braves tonight, Cubs. We'll see where it goes. We got one more story for you, but before we get to it, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Magnet. M-A-G-N-E-T. Your chick magnet.
Hey, what can I say? Well, 30 years ago. Magnet, that's M-A-G-N-E-T. Magnet goes to 72881, guys. You text magnet and you get it done within the next couple of minutes. Don't text and drive. 72881. Magnet for your shot at $1,000 this hour with our national signing bonus contest.
All right, we started the day talking about last night's NBA games. Tonight you got Rockets, Warriors. It's game two in H-Town. Must win, in my opinion, for the Houston Rockets. But we talked about, you know, this whole thing with the Celtics. And the most frustrating thing, and a guy said, Dukes, you sound mad at Al Horford. I'm not mad.
You sound mad at Al Horford.
I'm disappointed because he had the opportunity here to do the same things. That's all we wanted as Hawks fans was to give us what he's given to the Celtics. His averages in these playoffs are up about 5 points, Mike, from the regular season. This is what stars do.
Yeah, $27 million man. We've talked to a lot of folks that miss Al. Like, if Al was doing some of the things he was doing last night in that fourth quarter, we never would have wanted him to split in the first
place. Where was this guy when he was here?
Right. I mean, it's the sum of its parts team. It's kind of like the strange nature, the good, the bad of being that 60-win team. Who was the guy when the chips are down? Who's taking the shot or taking it over? And we never found that out. Neither did Coach Bud in those series against the Cavs. First in the conference finals and later the second round a year later.
Here's Al Horford from last night talking about finding a way.
You know, we just have a group of guys that really believe in each other, really just buying into what Coach is telling us. You just have a lot of guys that have a lot of fight in them. You know, our group, in tough times, we've always found a way.
Now, for all the conversation about Brad Stevens, who's been terrific, this roster's really good. And I think some of you, and including some people around the country, are looking at the Celtics like, without Kyrie, they're busters. And they're not. And when you go look at the history of their draft picks, whether it's Jaylen Brown from right here in the ATL or Tatum, who was a lottery pick.
Terry Rozier.
All these guys are in the first 3 years of their career, and they might be having a chance to play for an NBA Finals. this is not a buster roster that Boston's dealing with. These guys are versatile, Mike. They're more dimensional players than what the Cavaliers have, and you're seeing that in this series.
No argument there. I'm just saying, I mean, I get it. Danny Ainge did an amazing job putting this team together, and despite losing Gordon Hayward, then losing Kyrie Irving, still a heck of a job by Brad Stevens. I think he definitely deserves a little love in this equation.
Well, I don't like the argument of Stevens is the reason why Al is playing better. That's crap.
He found the way to push the buttons, Carl. All right, Carl has been avoiding this cut all day long. Let's hear from the chosen one.
We have an opportunity to go back home, protect home court. You know, we're going to use these days to really dive in on what needs to be done to help our ball club be successful. They did what they had to do, and that was protect home. And now it's our, you know, it's our time to try to do that as well. So, you know, see what we made of on Saturday.
Offense is stagnant. They got a problem. LeBron had 12 assists. Kevin Love had 2. Nobody else had more than 2. No ball movement. No open looks for LeBron. They're making him work. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. I'm just telling you. They probably win game 3. It's going to be tough to get out of this one. Hey, man.
Oh, you know, I'm a little nervous, dude. We're just talking about Serbians and stuff and European players. Somebody just followed me on Twitter, and the name's all in Russian.
Good luck tonight.
I'm a little nervous. Can't make up any of these vowels.
Let's talk to a guy who covers the NBA, USA Today NBA reporter, Jeff Zilgit, joining us here on Dukes and Bell on the WaitForIt.com hotline. What did you make of the J.R. Smith play? Should he have? Should there be more of a penalty here?
I thought there could have been a flagrant 2 in the moment. For sure. I know the league is very sensitive to hits to the face or above the shoulders in the neck area. When you're shoving a defenseless player like that who is in the air mm-hmm. near the stanchion, we've just seen too many injuries at the stanchion, whether it's because someone pushed a player or because a player just ran into it. The Paul George one. At the Las Vegas USA basketball camp, standing out. That wasn't even anything dirty. So I thought there should have been a flagrant 2 in the moment, and that would have been an ejection. And then beyond that, if they're going to review it, I have no problem assessing the flagrant 2 after the fact as well. It would have increased, I think, the fine, and it also would have no bearing on J.R. Smith's availability to play in the next game. So I'm not sure what the logic and reasoning is on that one right there. And it was out of frustration. It wasn't even a hard – it was beyond what we would consider a hard foul. There was no play on the ball. And so, you know, but the league made their decision, and there we are.
It is Jeff Zilgit, guys, covering the NBA for USA Today. We talked about LeBron's monster night last night. Kevin Love gave you 22. I mean, but they're going to have to lean on him for a lot more if they're going to make anything in this series, right?
Well, I don't know how much more you're going to lean. I mean, Kevin Love had 22 and 15. I mean, that's near his Timberwolves days production right there. You know, what was he, 26 and 14 mm-hmm. When he was with the T-Wolves on a semi-regular basis? And the problem isn't necessarily Kevin Love and LeBron last night. Kyle Korver had 11 points in the first half where the Cavs were winning. He didn't score in the second half. JR's frustration on the foul is because he was 0 for whatever. I think it was 7 last, 0 for 7. He had 0 points. When your two guard is getting 0 points in today's NBA with a 3-point line, you're going to have a difficult time winning. Tristan Thompson, we know his limited capabilities on the offensive end. He's going to get some buckets close to the rim. George Hill, another guy who did not have a good game, at least scoring-wise. The Cleveland's backcourt, if you want to include the starting backcourt of J.R. and George Hill, just got pulverized by the combination of Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier. And so there's problems across the way. They can't get anything out of Jeff Green, who had a really good series against Toronto. I'm trying to go down that Cavs bench. Ryan Hood, if you guys saw the press conference last night, Ty Lue did not like anyone questioning his decision to give Rodney Hood minutes. But Rodney Hood wasn't very good. So you have all these players on the Cavs outside of LeBron and Kevin Love, and maybe we'll give Korver the benefit of the doubt. But really, this is Boston's MO, which I think they borrowed a page from Indiana.
Yep.
And Boston's a better version of Indiana. More talented, mm-hmm. younger, more athletic, more physical, able to give LeBron a bunch of different looks And so make it difficult on LeBron, even if he has a 40-point triple-double. But don't let those other guys kill you, which what happened in the Toronto series. Indiana did a decent job, but obviously not good enough. Boston's able to do that.
It's a great point, Jeff. I said today, you know, and you never count LeBron out because of what he's been able to do. But Boston's just better. And, you know, I'm looking at Cleveland, and they have a bunch of one-dimensional players, where I'm looking at Boston, and they've got a bunch of versatile guys, and they've got a bunch of guys they can throw at LeBron. And, you know, for me, the series, the first two series for Cleveland, LeBron was getting to the rim when he felt like it. He is working to make those similar plays against the Celtics. And that's where the credit goes with the coaching with Brad Stevens. Let's talk about, you know, moving forward now. The adjustment I think Tyronn Lue made was, you know, inserting Tristan Thompson into the lineup. It didn't work. What else can he do?
Well, look, he's going to have to find – so it's not necessarily who he plays at this point. It has somehow created better looks for these guys. I mean, Jarrett Smith is a lockdown right now in Boston's eyes. I mean, I know he got seven shots, but, you know, he's not getting the great JR looks that he's used to getting. I mean, now I'm not so – but to worry or think it's an issue of who the Cavaliers could play, it's an issue of X's and O's and strategy and how you counter some of what Boston is doing to make life just a little bit easier. Now, Brad Stevens mentioned it last night, that they did have – Cleveland had nice actions with Kevin Love and Kyle Korver and some pick and pops and finding some open three-pointers. They're going to have to generate a little more of that. Now, they're going back to Cleveland. Now, the point you just made, I support this 100%. I'm not ready to write off LeBron yet. I mean, he's got two games at home. Boston did what they needed to do. Boston has not been played particularly well on the road. I mean, they went seven games with Milwaukee, lost all three games in Milwaukee, lost one in Philly. And so role players play better on their home court. They're going to have the crowd. You have a young team as well as Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Terry Rozier played. Their playoff experience, especially Jason Tatum, is limited. I mean, Tatum's a rookie. And so let's not count out beating LeBron four times so easily just yet in a playoff series. You're right. Boston is the better team, has been the better team. Let's see what happens in these next two games before we make too many sweeping conclusions.
Well, we love to do sweeping conclusions. We're Sports Talk Radio. Jeff Zilgits with us here, guys, from USA Today and the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, let's swing out west. D'Antoni and Harden, not exactly two games you think of defensive basketball, but what are these guys doing games two against Durant and company?
Well, again, you know, a little similar. They're going to have to get some other guys involved. And I know that the topic has been how Houston plays offensively with isolation. Absolutely right. That has got them to where they are this season. But isolation basketball becomes difficult for the entire team. It becomes difficult for James Harden, who, you know, handling the ball so much, you're exerting so much energy offensively, and then you have to turn around on the other end of the court, and you're going to have to guard, what, Steph, Clay, you know, I don't know who else he's going to guard in that lineup. He's not going to be able to guard Draymond too much. He can't guard Kevin Durant. And life is difficult for him on that end. And Eric Gordon made the point that, you know, there's going to need to be just a tad more ball movement for Houston. And then there's just, I don't want to say it's unfair in a kind of way where this is, you know, it's not right that Golden State was able to put this team together, but just unfair in a practicality standpoint of when all else fails in an offensive set, you can just give the ball to Kevin Durant and there's not a guy on the opposing team who can block his shot. You can keep him in front of you, but you're not, he's going to get a shot, and that makes life difficult on any team. And, you know, for, I don't want to say game one was a must win, but I am going to say game two is a must win for Houston if they want to have a chance in this series. You can't go down 2-0 with two games on your home court and then look at three more games one way or another in Golden State, even if it gets three more games. I mean, Golden State, if they win tonight, I could see them taking care of business on their home court.
Jeff, real quick, before we ask you about the Hawks and the third overall pick, do you think Draymond, you know, imposed his will early with the push to the throat area of Harden and kind of set the tone?
Yeah, look, I've had this feeling all year that whenever we saw Golden State struggle, that they were bored with the regular season. No one likes hearing that. But after playing in the finals three consecutive years, trying to go back a fourth time and win three of four, really what they were waiting for was May and June. And so if you wondered, oh, is Draymond the defender? Has he lost a little bit? No, and these guys are conserving energy. That you have to, you can't keep playing 20-plus games in the postseason, going to China in the preseason, and whatever else the NBA asks them to do.
Right.
And that takes some games off, so to speak, during the regular season and win a championship. That's exactly what they've done. And so Draymond's ready to play. He's ready to make life difficult for Clint Capella, for James Harden, for anyone else who is going to roam that way there on Houston's offense.
That's right, man. Again, Popovich, he begot Kerr, and Kerr likes to know how to win and to rest guys. It's a great point there from our buddy Jeff Zilgit from USA Today. We get the three. We get the third overall pick. If we wanted to trade our man Dennis Schroeder, because he doesn't seem to be happy here, we got a new, you know, new direction perhaps at guard. Is there any market for Dennis Schroeder for a trade?
No, I think there is. Travis Fife has a great pedigree, a great background, whether it's in Miami or Golden State. And I thought he was a good pick for that role. It seems like he's going to, he's laid out a plan. I like the spot at the number three pick. I don't think eight will be available, but Nurkic could be available. There's no guarantee he's going at number two, despite everyone saying, unless Phoenix jumps in there because of the connection to their new coach of the Slovenian national team, and that's where Nurkic played. But I think there's going to be a good pick at number three. If you want to look at a Marvin Bagley type from Duke, if you want to look at Jared Jackson from Michigan State, I wouldn't worry so much with this Hawks team about these. I know best player available becomes a cliche, but look at Boston. They have so many wings and defenders and two-way players. Do they really care that they're going to get Gordon Hayward back and feel that they have too many wing players?
No.
Of course not.
No.
And so I think you want as many good players as possible. I think there's going to be someone really good. I don't know if this class is as deep as last year's class, but I still think it's pretty good. And with three picks in the top 30
yes.
for the Hawks, with the idea of maybe getting another one somewhere with Dennis Schroeder, drafting well, I think the Hawks are in a really good position to do well. A draft that I did carry over into the regular season for the next couple of years to develop these young guys, but I like that spot at number three, I can tell you that.
Jeff Zilgit, thank you so much for jumping on with us. USA Today NBA reporter, we appreciate it.
And again, guys, we'll have a lot of time between now and June 21st to see what the plan is, man. And we'll see if Schroeder and the Hawks can maybe smooth over if there's a rough patch, or maybe he is a guy that's going to be adios, amigo. But at least we got from Mr. Zilgit that there is a market for Schroeder.
He gone.
Now, two things. If we're going to trade, let's hope we get traded back into the top 12. What's going to happen sooner? We're going to figure out to get some closure on Schroeder, or the Braves going to pump up this bullpen?
I think we're going to get some closure on Schroeder first.
I think we have to wait till the trade deadline.
For the bullpen, unfortunately. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell, Mike. We got a fun game winner tonight. We've been throwing a lot of stuff around, and these things happen organically, guys, on the show as we toss topics out there. And we got some good news, too, by the way, coming your way about this show. So stay tuned about that. We'll tell you more. But tonight's game winner.
Game winner is pretty simple. Our brothers down in Argentina, the AFA, the Argentine Football Association, they held a course for players, staff, and journalists about to travel to Russia with some basic guidelines about how to use the subway system in some of the various cities, how to travel to and fro. But a chapter that they were trying to rip pages out before the journalists got their hands on, Guides to Meeting How to Impress Russian Women. And we and Mike Conti discussed it earlier, and I don't think this just applies to Russian women. I think it applies to any woman in the world. It was some really good dating advice.
It really was. I mean, simple things like smell good, dress nice, be polite.
Ask questions. Don't dominate the conversation by simply talking about yourself. So, guys, what's some great dating advice? Maybe something perhaps your father passed along to you. My dad gave me a lot of chapter and verse, 404-741-0929. Good advice for youngsters out there that are just making their way into the dating pool.
That's tonight's game winner. I can't wait to hear this.
Game. And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
All about dating advice. Maybe some advice about where you would take the lady. Maybe some restaurant suggestions or some ideas, some cool, fun first dates that she'll enjoy.
Or how to act.
Right.
Now, here's what's crazy. 404-741-0929. In today's dating scene, okay, it's all social media. Mike, and we talk about this all the time, the interaction with another human being and actually speaking to a woman might put some people uneasy. You've got to be able to communicate.
It is mind-blowing what goes on these days. Hey, man, our game winner brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Mix it up and order any two or more Domino's medium two-topping pizzas, specialty chicken stuffed cheesy breads, bread twists, or marbled cookie brownie.
Yum.
For $5.99 each, man, bone-in wings, handmade pan pizza, and bread bowl pasta will be extra. Ask for this offer. Availability and charges may vary. Domino's.com for more details.
All right, so that's tonight's question, man. Give us some advice because the backstory to this real quick.
Yeah, Argentina, they're getting ready for the World Cup in Russia, and they put this pamphlet together for, amongst other things, how you get around Russia, but also how you meet Russian women. For instance, guys, the advice to treat the women who are in front of you with their own ideas and wishes. Pay attention to their values and personality. Don't ask stupid questions about sex. I didn't know that Argentinian men needed this help. I've seen some pretty suave dudes operate on South Beach in my time.
I know.
I don't need a manual.
I'm with you.
All right, let's see what we got. Hey, man, dating advice. What do you got?
If she sounds like me, you're in the wrong damn bar. They'll be looking at that Adam's apple. Free offer. Free job.
There you have it. Again, man, our man Jeremiah, right to the point. She has bigger hands than you. She's probably a dude. Unless you're into that sort of thing.
Jeremiah, man, appreciate you. Looking at that Adam's apple.
Love that guy, man. Hey, we're off and running, brother. Dating advice, what do you got?
To quote my Uncle Pierre, if you're on the date and the woman's on her phone, you just simply order $300 worth of food, excuse yourself to the bathroom, go out the bathroom window, leave her with the towel.
That's it. Well, that's just, that's not right. I think you just get up and you say, you know, maybe this isn't working out. Wow. You don't have to prank her.
You ever watch those dating shows, though? Have you ever watched any of those
shows? There's so many meatheads. It's almost like, you know, you're almost knowing that some of the stuff is scripted.
Yeah.
Or they're ratcheting up the tension between some real dimwits. You know, it gets silly.
What happened with you guys on the first date? Well, I arrived late, and I knew right then. I mean, it's just so
I knew
crazy.
Right then that she was a pain in the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Rocco. By the way, guys, always open the door for the lady. Okay?
Always.
Drives me crazy when I see these young guys. Man, open the manners. I know you don't learn it anywhere these days, but please.
Mike, we got a guy show, and where are all these guys with the advice? 404-741-0929.
Three lines, including this man. You're on the radio, buddy. You're in the game. What you got?
You got to befriend her girlfriend for two reasons. One, she's going to talk to them. And number two, if it doesn't work out, you got some good leads.
It's something Carl and I were just joking around about.
He's right.
Yeah, make friends with their girlfriends. It's not going to hurt you. What's that movie, Magnolia, where Tom Cruise is giving the dating advice?
Yes, that's the movie.
So creepy. But anyway, remember, guys, no means no, but yes means go. And put on a show. That's what my dad said. That's advice, Arthur. My dad told me that in 1984.
Put on a show.
He goes, no means no, but yes means go and put on a show because she may tell her friends.
Mm.
And so I think it's a solid advice. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? Some dating advice.
When you see the long flowing locks walking away from you and notice the nice, beautiful derriere, you might want to make sure that they don't have more facial hair than you when they turn around.
That's taking a cue from Jeremiah out there.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a very trend-friendly town, apparently. This guy's got to watch out for that. Hey, man, you're on the air, Montfrere. What do you got for us? Dating advice. Go.
That's me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, my grandpa always told me to stuff your jeans before you go on a date. You have the woman wondering about it every time.
Wow. So a cucumber, he's saying. That's, maybe wrap it in tinfoil for mystery.
That's some advice right there. Really? Interesting.
I like to go to a Chinese restaurant, get an egg roll, and I wrap it in plastic wrap, and I put it right there in the front of my britches.
Honestly, has a woman ever been like, wow, is that...
Wow,
is that a cucumber?
Is that an egg roll in your Wranglers?
That's never happened.
Yeah, that might work in Talladega on a Saturday night. But
All right. But
good luck with that. Different strokes, man. Hey, man, we're on the radio, and so are you. What do you got for dating advice?
At the end of the date, if she screams your name from a horizontal position, you did something bad. If she screams it from a vertical one, you did something good.
Hey, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
What's
up, man? It's good to small talk and just get on Tinder, man. Rise up.
Wow. And then he dropped the rise up in there.
Yeah. I mean, that. But that's
what
the
a metaphor.
Thing. We've talked about it. We've got a friend. We will not name his name because he gets very mad with us when we do. We got a
buddy. Talk about Don?
Yeah. Don kills it. Don absolutely slays it on Tinder. I mean, he's also rich, good looking, and has a Porsche.
You talking
but
about,
I mean,
you talking about
Don absolutely destroys
Don, stay off Tinder, Don.
Don, I mean, he's showing
not
me
fair.
Pictures. It's like, wow.
Not
hey,
fair.
Man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us? Dating advice.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
If she's old enough to cross the street, she's old enough to get hit.
That's just creepy.
Okay, then.
That's just bottom line creepy.
Slow your roll, man. You can't just pick and choose like that.
I presume
that.
The age of consent is over 17 now by 2018. Did we get that on the books? I hope we did. Let's see what we got here. Hey, man, dating advice. It's not creepy. What do you got?
When you're at the restaurant, always order for the lady.
Yes.
She'll have the linguine with
clam sauce. And
a Coke
with no ice.
Nice job. You don't know where that's from?
Again, for millennials, that's Fast Times in
Ridgemont High. Yes.
That's Damone giving some advice. And by the way, when you order, and here's another thing, because so many younger guys are such wimps, women like to see a guy take a little charge. You know, you order, take control of the situation.
They like for you to be in charge.
I'm just telling you, man. By the way, make plans. Don't spend 6 hours going, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do?
Yeah, make a decision. That's not going to last. Hey, real quick, Todd hits me up. Todd, a friend of the show, says shave your back, not your eyebrows, guys.
Yeah, wax that stuff, guys. Nobody wants to see that.
Thanks, Todd.
And by the way, there's a Brazilian place I go to right over here in Midtown. They got a nice Colombian lady, Sandra, 45 years old, Carl. She's a knockout. Some guys pay extra for that.
Wait a minute. How do you know how old she is?
I'm friends with her. She's been doing my back for years.
Okay. Intimate conversation.
I'm just saying. It can be a fun experience if you let it. Hey, you're on the air, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, the best place to go with an eligible bachelorette was Kobe Steakhouse on Roswell Road, right there at the Prado. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed leg spreader. You guys have a
easy now. Easy. We're going to have to dump it.
Guys are losing their minds.
Again, keep it above board. Keep it above board and above the belt.
Well, what I want to know is, and you can text me, what made it such a, what happens there?
I tell you, girl, to Kobe, and I tell you, when they start throwing that meat up there in the flames, man, it gets people fired up.
Anyway, so appreciate your advice there, guys. Bunch of freaking weirdos.
We'll come back. We'll hand things off to Andy Bunker. Hey, tomorrow, he's big. He's bald.
He's a ball.
Brad Guzan. He's going to join the show. Atlanta United fans, make sure you tell your fans, your friends, should I say. We'll tell you more about what's coming up tomorrow as well here on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.